Welcome to our very first of the Genuine Contact Ways specialty series workshops. I'm Rachel Bolton, and I'm here wearing two different hats today. The first is as the director of the Genuine Contact organization, and we are the sponsors of this workshop series that are all designed to support people who are working with organizations and with individuals to explore all sorts of different ways that the Genuine Contact program can be applied to different business situations. Today, of course, we're talking about coaching the Genuine Contact way. And over the next year, every other month, there will be a whole series of workshops on a variety of different topics, different ways to apply things that you might have already learned if you've been taking some of those Genuine Contact program workshops in your life, or things that you might become interested in learning at some point if you haven't yet learned some of those modules. The other hat I get to wear today is as one of the partners at Dalar International Consultancy, and we are your facilitators today, Birgit Williams and I, for this Coaching the Genuine Contact Way workshop. And before I get too much more into my welcome for today, Birgit, I just wanted to give you an opportunity to say hello and anything you might wish to as a way of welcoming today.
Thank you, Rachel, and to all of you, welcome. Welcome into this learning journey together. I'm delighted to be here, delighted to be one of the first team that's in one of these specialty workshops. So we'll see what we get that we're able to create together in the next just over 3 hours. Some of you I know. Some of you, I hope to get to know. You're new to me, and I'm curious and excited about what each of us brings into our circle. Rachel, go ahead.
Thank you. And speaking of that circle, this may be a reminder for some of you who are at the Summer Academy with us recently, but I do want to point out to you that sitting in our circle, Birgit and I are sitting opposite from one another. And we are all here together sitting in a circle. There is no table, even virtually, in between any of us. We're imagining this to be a collective space, just as though we were sitting in a collective circle together physically in an environment somewhere. As Birgit and I sit across from each other, one of the things that we want to kind of share with you and point out in consideration for your own work is that we do this really intentionally, whether we're in a physical space or in a virtual space, because it's about each of us and us as a pair together anchoring the energy of this circle for our optimal learning. And it's all about, it's about starting to form the energy of the container of the work that we're going to do. And even when the two of us are meeting together, we can imagine that we're sitting in a circle when it's just the two of us, sitting opposite one another, no barriers of communication in between us, and being able to have that look eye to eye with each other. So having set that up, I want to invite you to take a look at that circle and to see who it is that you are sitting across from. And in that same way, there is that energetic anchoring energy, perhaps, that is between the two of you, and that we all collectively are anchoring that energy for our optimal learning together in this group, through these pairs and also through all of us sitting in that circle together. You may not believe that energy works in these ways. It's certainly something that Birgit and I believe strongly in. So we just want to invite you to consider it, even for this morning, to see if you can experience it in some way. And that it is just about that, your imagination and your intuition and your energy being at work for today. So here we are. Together, you have a teaching partner, a energy partner who is sitting opposite from you in the circle, and we'll see how that might impact your learning over the course of our workshop today.
And I'm looking at the circle, and if you discover that there is someone that is not directly across from you, you can possibly take two people who are sort of across from you, and that would be the anchoring energy partner. Or what I sometimes do in a circle like this, when I look at the opposite and I see an empty space there between two people, I look at myself and say, okay, this is my time to be the anchor for myself. So you can play with this. As Rachel says, imagination is pretty powerful. And it might be your energy at work. It might be your intuition at work.
Yes, thank you. So with all of that being said, I'm noticing myself having this like, I need a deep breath moment. So I'm going to invite you to just take a good deep breath. And I learned somewhere that taking a deep breath is about having a good exhale to start, so it's nice and empty. And then taking a good deep breath in and out. And I love, in my own imagination, the idea of us dotted all around the world, collectively taking that breath together, and the power of that in synchronizing that energy even further. So thank you for playing along with me. Marie-France, welcome back. I hope that your internet connection is much more stable for you now. And
I'm hoping so. Yes.
Good, thank good. You sound great. So that's always a good start. If you want to get yourself into the circle, squeeze yourself on in there somewhere. Then the next thing that we're going to be doing is I'm going to ask you, if you haven't already, to go on over to slide number 2. That's the one that's got some nice bright green colors on it. It says transfer in. And at the bottom of it, there's a link to go to the Genuine Contact Way developing leadership cards that we at Daylar have produced. If you like this link and want to use it in your own coaching practice, you're free to do so. It is publicly available on our website. To choose a card. And when you click on that link, it's going to open up a new tab in your web browser, and there's going to be an image that shows up on it. It's an image and a word together collectively that have been chosen intuitively for you today. And I would like to ask you to spend about 2 minutes in silent reflection on what this card is conveying to you about a holistic approach. And after 2 minutes of some silent reflection, I will be back to you with the next of the steps for our day today. But of course, to start with, what is this card conveying to you about a holistic approach? So for those of you who are reflective learners, this might have not felt like enough time to really get into what that card was conveying to you about a holistic approach. For those of you who are like me, who are more of a like, come on, let's just keep moving kind of learner, it was plenty and plenty of time. Regardless of what kind of learner you are, I'm going to ask you now to meet in pairs to have a conversation. And we'll be doing that in the breakout rooms. And in a moment, I will give you some instructions about how you move into those. So if you don't know how, don't panic. But in those conversations, I'm going to ask you to meet into pairs and to have a conversation with each other. You may know the person already who you are having your conversation with. It might be someone who is brand new to you. Either way, this is an opportunity to get to know them and who they are as they arrive here in our circle today. And also to share with each other what that card was conveying. So what card did you get, and what was it conveying to you about a holistic approach? In 10 minutes, there will be a little notice that will pop up on your Kiko chat screen, and it will ask you to come back to the main room. At that time, it will be your opportunity to introduce your partner into our collective circle. So you will need to know their name, maybe something interesting about them, where they're from or something else, and also a few key highlights about what that card was conveying for them about a holistic approach. So we'll ask you to head into breakout rooms for that conversation. The 10 minutes will start once we get everybody into the breakout room. So it will be approximately 35 minutes after whatever hour you are in at this time. I think for most of us, that's either 9:35 or a.m. or 3:35 in the afternoon. And the way that you get into those breakout rooms, if you already know how, please feel free to go ahead and get yourself moving. And I think that we are even numbers, so you'll be able to meet in pairs equally. The way to do that, if you clicked on that hide breakouts button before that I told you about, in the top left corner, there's a button that says show breakouts. So you're going to need to click that button. It's blue with white text, and it will bring up that left-hand column again. There's then a two-part process to move yourself into a breakout room. You'll be able to see that some people are starting to move into rooms now. You can see their little icon moving into a space. You want to pick a space that has either no people or one person in it by clicking on the button that says space 1, space 3, space 5, 6, 7, whichever one you prefer to go into. And that will, in your KikoChat browser, load you into another whiteboard. It has the words transfer in at the top. You don't need to take notes. It's a place for you to do that if you wish, but they won't come back into this room. When you get there, you're going to look for the button that says join video for space, whatever number you've put yourself into. So it'll say join video for space 1. When you click on that button, a little warning message is going to come up and you're going to panic because it's going to say, do you really want to leave the meeting? And you're going to think, no, I don't. Like, I'm here. I want to be here. But you do, because what it's going to do is disconnect you from here, and it's going to connect you into a private Zoom conversation in that breakout space. So you click on the yes, I do want to leave meeting. It takes about 10 seconds for it to open up the new Zoom window. You do the same thing when you're ready to come back here. Click on the blue main space button and then click on the join video for main space when you're ready to come back. So go ahead and give it a try, and we'll see you back here in about 10 minutes. So welcome back from your transfer in time and having some conversations with each other about what that card conveyed to you about a holistic approach. I am going to pick up the bells that are in the center as our talking object, our input object for today. And in a moment, I'm going to send them to my left around the circle, and we'll work our way around clockwise as a way of having an order, some order for our conversation today. So that means that Theo, you'll be up first as someone to introduce your partner. So when you have those bells, you are the speaker. The rest of us are respectful listeners. I think we're all doing pretty good about keeping our microphones muted, but just a quick reminder with all of us here that that helps with the background noise. So you'll need to remember to turn your microphone on before you speak and then turn it off when you're done. And your job is simply to introduce your partner, to share a couple of key highlights about what their card was conveying to them about a holistic approach, and then to pass those bells on to the next person in the circle, and we'll continue our way around. So over to you.
Thank you very much, and good morning and good afternoon, everyone. I had the pleasure to meet with Ulrika Eklund, who is joining us from Stockholm, Sweden. She is a consultant and coach and focuses in her work on gender equality and addressing the filters, I think is the word she used, that people bring into things as basic as business service delivery in looking at gender and how males might be treated differently from females in certain service environments, or how folks are addressing services, and how we're not aware a lot of times that we treat gender differently in a variety of contexts. The image that Ulrika had was around clear purpose, and she shared that that resonated with her meaningfully, as she is really working at the moment in a number of arenas around the why and why she's doing the work that she's doing. And also recognizing the power that that has in any sort of engagement to bring people to that question and ask, why are we here? Why are we pursuing this effort? Why are we pursuing this initiative? And so the visual, I believe, was a, I'm not sure actually what the visual was. I was intrigued and we didn't really get to talk about it, but it looked like maybe a puddle, almost a clear puddle or a water. I'm not sure what, I didn't have a good read on the visual, but the clear purpose Ulrika shared was something that resonated with her meaningfully this morning in being with us here. Do I pass them on to the next person? Okay.
Yes, please.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, good morning, everyone, and good afternoon to the ones in Europe. I spoke to Debra, and we were two latecomers, so we didn't have much time to talk. But Debra, she's sitting in Canada, and she picked the card of health. We talked briefly about that, and she said that we all know the formula for good health. We know the basic. Sometimes we do not implement it, but we all know what it takes to get good health. And she also talked about how she's thoughtful for herself about it, shared that she this morning had her 45-minute walk together with her sister. So she herself is taking good care of her health, and seeing that has an impact for her whole life. I think that was about it, what we had time for. So I'm looking forward to hear more around the circle now. So I'll pass the bells to Ulrika.
Thank you. And I had the honor to speak to Theo or Theodore that have lived in Germany but now is in Ohio. US, and he's working for the Nexus for Change, the organization, and he got the card, and that organization is also doing this book, the handbook for change, but now with 100 methods that Rachel and Birgit is also involved in. I'm looking forward to that one. But he picked the card capacity building. No, capacity development. And it was a tree, and he first looked at the picture and saw the picture, and he can feel that the tree was beautiful, but he could also feel himself in being in the root, not the beautiful leaf. And he has the strength of connecting people or connecting things together. And he likes a lot working with music, and he could connect like rhythmic and harmony, for example. So to be part of a whole, to also see the tree is part, or the root is part of something bigger. And to be part of something bigger, something larger, like being part of the globe or the earth. And that has the same word in German, being part of the globe and the earth has the same word, Erde. Mm. So being part of that. But his strength was connecting, I think. That's part of his capacity building. Capacity development. I don't know why I said capacity building all the time. Was that okay? Yeah. Okay, then I pass it to Marielle. So, Marielle.
Yeah, thank you, Ulrika. I was meeting with Martina, and we first talked about if we had met before, because somehow we recognized each other's faces, and we did. We met each other at the Mentoring Circle in Amsterdam last September, and Martina is from Hannover, which is kind of on the same line as where I'm living in Utrecht. So we're not so far away from each other. It was really nice to see her again, to speak to her again. And Martina, she had a card with a lot of bubbles. and she only looked at the bubbles when she was reflecting on the question what it conveys about a holistic approach. So we don't know the words under the card. And it made her think about it's different bubbles that in a holistic approach, it doesn't matter what you do in an organization, whether it is a change program or a coaching session, you are always influencing the whole. That was what came to her mind. And also that people are not only their heads, but it's essential to see other parts of people and also to see that they have different learnings. And then later on, we started to talk a little bit about bubbles and filter bubbles. So we had a lot of associations with bubbles and holistic approach. So I think I leave it with that. Is that okay, Martina? Yeah. And I pass on the bells to Eva.
Okay. I started to write with Helga because we couldn't we couldn't hear each other or see each other. So, and I'm really not a high tech doing these things, but nevertheless, we were able to see each other and talk to each other. So Helga's card was genuine contact with another. And the image was kind of, she said, like yin and yang. And she thought about balance, that it stood for balancing. That was Swedish. Stäng av min telefon. I had to shut off my phone. So it was about balance. So we didn't have so much time to talk, but Helga lives in Netherlands, I think. And she used to give trainings, but had recently, I think, or I really don't know, changed from trainings to more a coaching approach. And also coaching and working with multi intelligence, which sounds quite interesting. So that's that. And bells to Bugget.
Yes, for coming to me, Eva, thank you. And I had the joy of talking for the first time with Anne Aid, and she is in Norway and is a leader of her own business and all that implies. The card that she got was courage, and the image of the card, she really liked it. It has two shapes that are make like a heart, and one can see a heart in it and also pick up that there is an overlapping common space within this, or common concern. So she talked about that the card courage fit very much because she is very committed to change in society through courageous leadership. And she says she has to live the courage all the time in her business. As she goes out, she talks about her ideas, she meets people who are unknown to her, pitching her ideas, and also pitching her ideas to people she knows very well takes courage, such as her family. So she talked about courage, the part courage plays in her life, the part that courage plays in her business. She talked about that it's not just about finding courage together, finding the place of the heart together, but also taking it out into the world. So that's what I choose to say from a very rich conversation with Anaid. I'm passing the bells to Helga.
Thank you very much. I'm had the honor to talk to Eva. And Eva is, can you hear me? Because I can't see myself. Good, thank you.
Loud and clear.
Good. Eva works in business as a trainer, and she has many training subjects, but she also works as often as she can with open space. She lives in Sweden. She has a very nice dog, Louise, and a horse, which I met the dog, not the horse, but I like that. And we had a very nice conversation in spite of the fact that we had lots of difficulties to get into the room. Thanks to Rachel, I finally got there and we could see each other. Before that, we did the whole thing on chat, but it worked well. Her card is called Strength. And she actually thought it was quite normal to associate strength with a holistic approach, because that's the benefits of the holistic approach. You get strength from it, as I understand her. And she actually said it's so normal for me to have that strength that there's not very much more to say about that than that it belongs to a holistic approach. That's what I would like to say. I hope it's okay, Eva. And thank you for talking to me, and I'll pass on the bells to Martina, if that works. Yeah, sure it does. Here you go, Martina.
Yeah, thank you, Helga. I like to introduce Marielle. You already heard that we met at the mentoring circle, and I was thinking about that Marielle was the facilitator. We didn't speak about it, but I think she was the facilitator of the meeting. Her card was the intuition card, which is a very, for her, a very beautiful red colored card. She liked it. She found it very attractive. And for her, it has a lot to do with joy. And it's the same for holistic joy. Should be always a kind of, I don't know, of organizations or of your work. And intuition was something which she noticed more in the last year. I wish she was more working with it, with intuition. And concerning the holistic part, she said that a person is so much more than you can see, and it is very nice if you have a good entrance to your intuition. It will help you to better understand the person and to have good conversations with them. We were discussing about whether intuition is used in organizations. Yes or no, whether it is hidden there or whether it is used consciously. And we are also agreeing about that intuition is not always right. You have to train it to use it consciously. Yeah, I think that's enough for the moment. There was so much more, but I think it's enough. Thank you. I pass the bells to Deborah.
Hi, good morning everybody, or good afternoon. I had partnered up with Marguerite. I know she told me to call her Margaret because I couldn't pronounce her name properly. She's from Norway, and card was Nourish, And she found, we didn't have a lot of time because we were late getting, as she mentioned, getting in. But she did talk about that was very appropriate. It really resonated with her because it's brought her back to the genuine contact way. And she was, so it really sort of, you know, felt right. And it was interesting that that was the card that came up for her. And we really kind of ran out of time. We didn't have a lot more to just share with each other on our what we do and that kind of thing. But we got to the cards at least. So that's pretty much what we had sort of covered off in the few minutes that we had together. So I will pass this to Anne Heidi.
Thank you, Deborah, and good morning and good afternoon, everyone. I had the pleasure of talking for the first time with Birgit, and this is a person I've heard so much about from some common friends of us. So it was the starting minutes flew away when we talked about and got to know about each other. And she had the card Genuine Contact with Another. And she said she had associations with the world similar to mine when I had this Courage card, like leading from heart to heart, mind to mind, connection between the essence of ourselves with the essence of the other, and also on a spiritual level, making contact with another person and genuine contact with another. And she also had this reflection about you also can have this feeling like being in genuine contact with some other skin to skin, but even if you are not in the same place or physical together, you can still be in a genuine contact with another, and that this is in holistic leadership. It's important to get to the point where we are in a genuine contact with another on all these different kinds of level and are conscious about it. Have I been fair to you, Birgit? Okay, that's what I'll share from our meeting, and I pass the bells to Ylva.
Okay, so hi everyone. I had the joy to talk to At, which is short for I had to ask, is your name really At or is it something else? Adrianos, I think, which is a very powerful name. And As and I, we were talking about our cards, but funnily enough, At, we didn't mention what the picture was on our cards. So that's really interesting. We were just talking about the word, and you got the word genuine contact with creation. And you talked about that everything is connected. And that in your workshops, everything comes with change, and to work in a way that allow richness and creation and connectiveness. So about, and then we had 20 minutes actually to talk about the Summer Academy in Canada and your work in the Netherlands as a GC trainer. And you are now in to collaborate with other international GC trainers, which was very interesting. So it was a great talk, but actually we talked more about our work than we did about our cards, I must say. So I pass it on to you, Ad, and listen to your experiences.
Thank you, Ylva. Yes, that was a very, very nice chat with Ilse, who got, because we did do talk about our cards, I think. We had just ample time to talk about other things. Her card was freedom. And the freedom that she's feeling right now, having at the start of the holiday season and being in her holiday house on the west coast of Sweden, and feeling the type of freedom she said she hasn't felt since she was 16, you know, when kids being old enough and all that. And the same for her business, which she started a couple of years ago, working by herself and being able to do well enough to be able to support herself. And that's another freedom. So those are the sort of the main things I took from our conversation about our cards. And very nice to meet you. And I'll give over to Rachel.
Thank you all for all of your sharing. I also drew myself a card, which is always fun. And the card that I got for today was the Alchemy card. And I thought about it as this, like, for me, alchemy is like about magic a little bit, right? Like getting all the ingredients right to be able to create something that's new and different and exciting. And it made me think about some of our beliefs and things that we work with in Genuine Contact, about all of those different ingredients that are necessary to make magic, about that fundamental belief as we're gathered here in a big group today, right? We have that fundamental belief that the wisdom is in the room, and that somehow we all collectively together come together to create magic in our learning with each other. And then I was thinking about that, like, coming together of all of the ingredients in a holistic approach, and that's really the way, like, a holistic approach is really about taking all of the pieces that are important and stirring them up together in order to create whatever it is that you're after. So I loved having that card for myself this morning in the moments that I had for my own reflections. I have done my best to put all the cards up onto the whiteboard as folks were talking, but this thing kept happening where you all kept saying all these brilliant things, and I was so focused on listening to the words that were happening and all the thoughts that it was stimulating that I know that I missed a couple. So if your card is not up on the whiteboard and you would like for it to be, firstly, my apologies for missing the name of the card within the importance of the message that was behind it. But secondly, if you would like it to be up there, if you put in either of the live chats the name of your card, I will make sure that it gets up onto the whiteboard for us. Birgit, I'd like to turn it over to you for a few moments now as we move into the next steps of our transferring in time with one another.
Thank you, Rachel. Thank you, all of you, for all that wisdom that you shared. And at this point, please go to slide 3. And what you will see on slide 3 is a heading that says Reflections about a Holistic Approach. I would ask us to stay together as a whole circle of people, as a whole group, so this isn't about going into breakout groups. It's staying together, and even though we've shifted our attention onto slide 3, we still imagine that we're sitting in a circle. I'm gonna ask you to think about that circle, that transfer in time we just had, and in relation to the cards, in relation to what was spoken, and in relation to any ahas or insights that you are currently having or had in that circle, I ask you now to share any reflections that you're having about a holistic approach based on the wisdom that came forward from that transfer in time together. So this isn't a question about theories that you know. It is a question about reflecting about what just happened, what you experienced, and what your ahas are. Please feel free to write those reflections on the whiteboard and then to speak them, or if it's your need, to speak them first. first, I will write as you're speaking. So please go ahead and share any reflections about a holistic approach. And just speak up when there's space to do so. I see lots of great wisdoms going up on that whiteboard. If you are ready to speak to what you're thinking about, what you're reflecting about, please go ahead.
Yeah, my insight was that the holistic approach that is an essence or the focus of coaching the GC way, and I felt happy to realize it.
The question, if I may, reminded me of that. I mean, I've seen a lot of instances where an approach wasn't holistically, but people were definitely engaged and fully there, and you could say wholly there, and still being able to get great results, even though the approach wasn't holistically. But when things go awry, or things go different, or typically then what I've found is that the way of working did not support the changes that happened enough. And my background is in project management, and I see it there. And people, project management thinking often has been very linear, and people knowing how the world works can work themselves around it, even though they use that approach. But still, insisting on using and following an approach that isn't holistically is hampering them, I think, is hampers a lot in processes. That's what it reminded me of.
While coaching, I kind of am learning to shut up because the wisdom is with the person himself. And it's also in the room, as Rachel reminded me. But what I also thought was it just comes into being, because if it's in the room, we don't necessarily see it. So it only comes into being when we make genuine contact and when we kind of get into this holistic approach doing that. So I kind of am experimenting with being used to be a teacher and tell people lots of stuff and lots of theories and things, but also to just shut up and try to listen through the lines, and from there on getting into this wisdom which emerges between the other person and myself. It's kind of a riddle still, and I kind of, yeah, I'm very excited about it, but also sometimes difficult to shut up. Okay, that's my part.
We can all, of course, read what has gone on up on the whiteboard. I will ask you now to speak to what has gone up already or anything else that you wish to speak to. Myself, as I've been reflecting with what has gone up, I have been thinking, wow, each and every statement that I see there could be the heading of several paragraphs. I could actually see an entire written article coming out of this. So I'm glad we'll all have this later on as a whiteboard to keep in our own resources and the recording. There's a great deal of wisdom in this picture, but a holistic approach. And myself, I am thinking in new ways about a holistic approach as it applies to coaching. So please do speak up, any of you that would like to share, so that those who are auditory learners can hear what you have to say.
Hi, I added two more insights to the board, and one is my association with coaching is that it's oftentimes very, very visible, result oriented. A holistic approach also gives space for invisible, not to measure results. And the next one is that coaching one person can be of value to many persons.
Hi, I put on the whiteboard how much of a holistic approach can be learned and how much must you experience. And it's a result of a work I saw some weeks ago from a professor here in Norway, that comes from this business school environment. And he said earlier it took 20 to 25 years to be an experienced and holistic leader, being wise and seeing the system together and making the right connections. And he said also that in meeting with all this change need now, we can't afford ourselves to use so much time to get this holistic approach in our leaders, and we have to learn them and give them tools so they learn to be and to see this holistic approach after just maybe 6 or 7 years. And and I have been constantly thinking about this since I heard about it. How can this be done, and how do you see holistic leadership and this holistic approach? When what is the science of this holistic leadership, and what are the skills they have to master to be there? And is this just one more word flying around having many kinds of different meanings, and it's up to the persons that take them in use to say what is in it for me? So that was my approach. And I also said this, leadership without a feeling of being united to a common vision or purpose is hard. And I think that's the main thing for me. You have to be together about something that is important for the both of you and for the whole group to get to each other hearts and minds, and make results that counts together. Thank you.
Okay, Will, thank you all. We'll leave, of course, this whiteboard. You literally leave it open on your screen to give you a few additional thoughts about how the holistic approach applies to coaching, and lots of things stirring. At this time, we invite you to take a 10-minute break, and when we come back from the 10-minute break, we'll be going to slide 4 and to start, as you would imagine, to look at some hopes and fears for this workshop. So please take your 10-minute break and get back in 10 minutes revived, energetic, knowing that you have now mastered the technology, and taking a deep breath. See you in 10 minutes.
So welcome back to our workshop, to this Coaching the Genuine Contact Way program. We're going to ask you now to head into breakout groups to look at your hopes and fears. So I'm going to ask you to go into a couple of breakout rooms, just 2 breakout rooms, I think, groups of 5 for 15 minutes. And we're going to ask you to think about what are your hopes and fears for coaching. And when you are in those breakout rooms, you'll find a whiteboard where you can make some notes. We'll ask you to please make those notes. And in 15 minutes, when you come back, to make sure that somebody is ready for you to present the hopes and fears on behalf of your whole group. So you'll have to choose somebody who's going to present. 15 minutes, hopes and fears, and I'll bring those whiteboards back in here so that you'll have them at that time. So why don't you head on into breakout rooms number 1 and 2 to have this conversation. All right, we are back.
You are welcome back into the collective circle. You had a little bit of time to look at hopes and fears for coaching. We recognize that one could talk about this for a very long time. Coaching is such an important gift to give to other people, an important profession. And so there's probably lots and lots of thoughts about it. But in the course of this workshop, we did just give you that shorter time. And I see that Rachel has us ready to go into slide 5. So please head on into slide 5. And could somebody from slide 5 speak to the hopes and fears that this group came up with while Rachel's bringing in the other one as well? Please go ahead.
Slide 5 was the group that was in breakout room 1.
Okay, shall I read it?
Yes.
Our hopes and fears, which we didn't talk about to each other. We were just writing down and then it was time to go back for most of us. Hopes and fears for this workshop, too much time for introduction, too little time for the main subjects, the coaching with the 6 levels. And hopes and fears for coaching to be able to use the 6 levels in coaching sessions. Then hopes, enrich my toolset, especially the 6 level in coaching. Reflect my last coaching sessions a little bit, preparing the next tomorrow. Integrate more GC elements in coaching and learning from the experience of others. And fear is technique and language. Then somebody else wrote hopes, new insight, learn, already done that, reconnected my coaching tools. And maybe there's something more, but I can't read that. Fear, little time left, coaching in general, hope, use it more, deeper listen, open my eyes for new perspective, and fear, impatience, and filters. And then somebody else, that's mine, fine-tune coaching basics and learn some things to chew on. And another hope, meet and talk to nice people. And fear, at the moment, not enough headspace to learn.
Great, thank you. Please let us go to slide 6 and listen to the hopes and fears there.
Yes, so we weren't exactly sure whether or not the focus was intended to be our hopes and fears specifically for the session or for our coaching experience in general. So we tried to sort of touch on both. We shared that some of us find that a fear is that we might be pushing too hard toward creating results from a coaching session. Some of us were concerned that maybe sometimes we're not pushing hard enough. We talked about sort of a balance and sometimes maybe contradiction between the need for the client to, or for us, the need for the for us as a coach to create results even from a single session, compared to maybe on the other side being willing to listen and able to listen for what's emerging for that group or for that client. Lost the slide here for a second.
Yes.
For the session specifically, some of us expressed that we're hoping, similar to what was just shared from the previous group, to get these 6 levels of the spiral sort of into our coaching more and find ways for the clients to be in genuine contact with themselves and to allow for that space in the coaching engagement. I think, what am I forgetting, guys? So you can see here the fear to create conditions and actions. I thought I sort of stated that to make sure that there's enough space for the client to get in contact with themselves. Yeah, I think I'm complete. Anybody from the group wanna add to that? Okay.
Great.
Oh, I didn't realize my video was off. I apologize.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Two great presentations of hopes and fears. And what Rachel and I certainly do as you're speaking your hopes is pay attention to the hopes. We also invite all participants to do your best to with us to help the hopes become reality. And we also pay attention to the fears from the perspective of we can't stop the fears from happening and would not try to. However, if someone's fear is actually happening within this time together and somebody is feeling that their fear is surfacing in a pretty big way, you can certainly ask us to pause and say, well, one of my fears is really happening right now. Can we pause simply to acknowledge it? And so within the fear or the hope, I want to speak to this one, the hope of spending a lot of time on the sixth level evolutionary spiral. The promise is that we will get to the sixth level evolutionary spiral to introduce it as a tool for coaching. We do have time for that, don't worry. The fear that we've spent too much time on the introduction, we acknowledge that we're well into the time for this workshop. And yet, all that has happened is also part of coaching. So we acknowledge that fear is within the group. And let's just see what we do with the rest of it. But I think it's wise to say, wow, that's big fear with just over an hour left. So Rachel, over to you. Slide 7.
Thank you. Yes, if everyone can come on over to slide number 7 with me, we are diving into content, exiting what feels like that introduction time, but you'll see in a little while that is also something that we build really intentionally and importantly into our container for the workshop today. So the service delivery model is on slide number 7 here. It is a version of the medicine wheel tool that you may be familiar with, depending on how much work you may have done with genuine contact before arriving here today, or you may be seeing it for the first time. So we want to make sure that you have a little bit of an overview of this tool and how it works. And I'm going to do that by first explaining the model to you and then giving a brief example of this. So the service delivery model as a version of the medicine wheel tool, all of our medicine wheel tool work always starts in the center with purpose. And in this case, we're describing that purpose as the development goal. And when we look at the service delivery model, it's about what needs to be in place so that we can effectively deliver the service that the client is after. In our case today, that client is you here in the workshop. So development goal answers that question of what is it that we're hoping to achieve? Why does this work exist? What is the development goal that you are hoping to achieve by participating here today? Then moving north in the service delivery model, we look to leadership. And that, in this case, is the leadership for achieving the goal. What leadership exists and what leadership needs to exist for that development goal to be able to be achieved. We then continue our way clockwise around this wheel. So we're going now into the east, into vision, which in this case is the vision of the outcome. So when this development goal is successfully achieved, What is the vision of the outcome for the achievement of that goal? What will be different? What will have changed? What will, I think generally speaking, when we have development goals, we might assign almost judgment to it to say what will be better as a result of having achieved this goal. So what is that vision for the outcome? Moving then south, we get into the community of stakeholders to be involved. So who needs to be there, both from the perspective of who is benefiting from this, and also from the perspective of who needs to be there to support this goal being achieved. So who are the, that community of stakeholders to be involved? And then finally, moving to the quadrant in the west of the method. And method is in that management quadrant, and it's about how do we get things done? What is the method that we are going to use to achieve this development goal? Now we want to give you a little bit of an example of a service delivery model. And in this case, we decided to give you the lived example of the workshop that you're in today. So Birgit and I have this service delivery model for the workshop. So when we think about the development goal, and I'm just kind of like saying this off the top of my head, not referencing our actual work on this, but the development goal around it is around providing you as people who are coaching with opportunities to deepen your capacity, to have some new tools to use, to expand and benefit the ways in which you are developing the framework for your coaching. When we look at the leadership for achieving this development goal, Birgit and I clearly are some of the leadership that's involved in that. We also know and acknowledge that there's incredible wisdom in this room, and therefore each of you has leadership that you are taking on in your own learning and in contributing to the collective learning of others. The vision of the outcome for us is that you are able to take what you have learned here in this workshop and apply it directly into your own coaching practices, not as something different than what you are doing, but to strengthen the coaching abilities and the training and mastery that you already have by adding another layer into your understanding of how that coaching is working. The community of stakeholders to be involved is not just all of us who are here, but of course, it's the stakeholders that benefit are stakeholders that are your clients and customers. I think any of these learnings also benefit all of the people around us, including our families and other places where we're coaching. And we can look to our community of support, particularly our genuine contact community, for feedback and other ways of supporting us as we work in this way together. And our method for the workshop, of course, is that we're here and that we're having this 3.5-hour workshop together with each other, that there will be an archive recording available for you to come back and continue self-study with, so that if your brain is full for learning right now, that you have the opportunity to come back and relearn the things that we have covered by reviewing it again. And our method, of course, also includes the use of Kiko Chat as the tool and whole person process facilitation as the way that we are processing our learning for today. So that's a quick overview of an example of a service delivery model, and it is the one that we're using for the container today. Birgit, is there anything that you would add to that?
No, thank you, Rachel. I would ask that everyone shifts, where's the slide, into slide number 8, please. And what I have to say about the service delivery model is going to be addressed here. What we have done with you in the almost 2 hours that we have been together is something that is referred to as co-creating the container. And it's certainly my experience in going from a holistic approach for coaching that the co-creating of the container, it takes its time, it needs to go slowly, it can feel frustrating to people who are just like, come on, get on with it, help me find my solution to something. It can feel that way. And yet, from a holistic approach, as we're carefully inviting in the multidimensional being that everyone is, we are co-creating the container with that other person. So we took you through a lived experience of co-creating the container with us as a group. We did basics that we call transfer in and hopes and fears. We used reflections about learning. We used the service delivery model, which is, we have done all of these things. We have done more than this. We helped you with really putting your focus on the circle, putting your focus on anchoring energy. And as we said in the anchoring energy time, that anchoring energy is very much of a you can do it, we can do it energy field. We invited you to look across the circle at each other so that we were inviting you to co-create the container. When we invited you to transfer it, you used an object to access some of your wisdom. That brings you into recognizing that you have wisdom, that you, each and every person that it can be tapped into, that it's brought into the circle, whether that circle is one person, whether the circle is two people or more than two people, if it's one-to-one coaching or group coaching. Those are all ways to co-create the container. It cannot be rushed. There's something that's going on the whole time that container is being co-created. It is not just us creating the container and holding the container, the whole group co-creates it. So now let's apply this to coaching. Really think of each of these steps. It's called slow yourselves down. At first, go create with people, do a transfer in, do hopes and fears, have reflection time about the learning, and then have your people or person use the service delivery model to identify and be able to talk with you what their development goal is, what they think of leadership to accomplish that development goal. And that might be the first time that that person is thinking of themselves within the picture of leadership to accomplish the goal, rather than assuming that the coach is the one with leadership to accomplish the goal. And then they can express what their expected outcomes are and so on. I wanted to address this because first, when we do hopes and fears, that's completely tapping into emotions. And, you know, what are your hopes for this coaching? What are your fears when you're in a coaching role with an individual or a group? And even though we know the hopes and fears, we still then ask them to do the service delivery model, which usually comes much more from the mental realm, whereas hopes and fears comes more from the emotional realm. So everything we've done in this session so far is a tool and I asked you to come to slide 9. And if you could just quickly speak to some reflections you're having about co-creating the container when you are coaching, I think we'd all benefit from your reflections. And I will type on the whiteboard any key reflections you're giving us. Please go ahead.
So in the last few moments of that, there was a little bit of some, I think, like audio challenge. So in case you missed any of it, what Birgit was speaking about, that idea of co-creating the container, and it's now an invitation to come on over to slide number 9 and to speak about any reflections that you're having about co-creating the container, about doing the work of it, about any of your ahas or oh no's about it. We will go ahead and type as you're speaking so that we can hopefully get that done in a little bit more of an efficient of a way. So please feel free to speak any of those reflections you're having now.
Hi. I was thinking, I think it's really important to take time to slow down, to create a container. However, a coaching session very often will be 1.5 hour, maybe 2 hours the most. So, of course, we are a bigger group now, but my experience is that sometimes it's not enough to go slowly through the steps. And maybe I could ask for more time, but then there is this concentration thing. So I wonder if there is something to say about it, how much time would be the right time, or to split this in even 2 sessions with a client. That's a question that comes into my mind.
I always love it when a person asks the question and gives the answer at the same time. So thank you, because you did agree. You gave it like, oh, maybe splitting it into a couple of sessions. And that was a beautiful answer. And it's very much in this genuine contact way of coaching that we have to hold steady with knowing this is going to take the time that it takes. And, you know, if the client is paying for this by the minute, they're wanting, like, come on, we've got to get on to the essence of this. And yet, this going slow with this at the beginning will make an enormous difference. So someone else, please go ahead. I commented only because I do so love when a person gives the answer when they're asking the question. Go ahead.
For me, it's always just that the experience of that tension between, you know, how much is enough of opening the space to create the container, of doing introductions, of getting to know each other, of making sure that everybody is comfortable. Versus that sense of, but we're not getting the content, but we're not getting. I think some of us experienced it this morning. I'm wrestling personally with just sort of becoming more comfortable with the open space concept around that, and saying what was happening, what is happening is the only thing that could, the only thing that can, and sort of trusting that if I'm willing to listen appropriately, more times than not, I will get it right in terms of for allowing for that space without sort of succumbing to, okay, we got to wrap this up now. This container has got to be done so we can get to content. But that tension, I think, is pretty constant, especially at the beginning of a new engagement with a new client.
I can go with you on this one. And I find it very important to build what I call a coaching alliance with my clients. And then I'm talking about coaching in a 1-2 situation. And I find it very intriguing to think of the open space concept and to add it to this coaching alliance, because usually I'm talking about having a a very equal relationship, saying things if the process doesn't go well, but lots of small options. But very often I kind of tell them, and they are, and I see whether the client accepts them, and we go along, and the coaching alliance kind of starts getting into existence. But I don't do so very much with it. So I might use, I might experiment with using ways of the open space, like the transfer-in, hopes and fears. I find complicated because I'm not necessarily telling my hopes and fears to my client, and usually the facilitator doesn't do that either. So yeah, in a way, you kind of go through that. But yeah, I just have to think about it. It's very intriguing to use the BPPF options, and certainly this service delivery model, to start out the contract with the coachee, which I usually do in a different way.
Yes, I think you have to start each time. Also, if you have someone you are working with time after time, you have to use a bit of time every time to transfer in and get in contact and be sure that you are on the same spot, having a common vision for the session and what the coachee wants to achieve with talking to you, using you as a coach that day. And it can be done in many different ways. I mainly coach executive leaders also, and I often meet them when they are in trouble. At work, maybe on the steps for a golden parachute or something like that on the way out, and it's a lot of commotion, a lot of conflict around it. I think this can be done, in my experience, if we use 5 to 10 minutes as a main time schedule for this kind of activities. If you are one-to-one, you can achieve a lot of things. But if you skip it, my experience is that the whole of the rest is more or less without any meaning, because you are not on the same page, you don't have the same goal for the session, and it turns out to be some conflicts that you don't have the same I don't know what to say. You don't see the same results and further after this session, and you have to start all over again and then do more or put more into this kind of activities. And if you are really unlucky, they say, okay, I don't have any confidence in you as a coach for my process, and we will end this here. So I think it's very important to use time on this, and it's the bridge that brings you over the water for all the rest that are to come and can come.
Thank you. Thank you all. I think that what you all shared speaks quite well to the tension, and we are very, very intentional in this coaching workshop about sitting in that tension, about thinking about the tension, about we would suggest to give lots of consideration to the value of the creating of the container. It is not just about comfort level. It includes other parts, as you have said. And for me, one of the keys is about having the person get to that point of whatever comes out of the coaching, they have some a leadership role in themselves, even if the purpose of the coaching is to help with their leadership development because they don't quite grasp leadership. So that's another polarity to be looked at. So that I can express to you where this has its importance in the coaching, please go to slide 12. And on slide 12, you will see the sixth level evolutionary spiral. And in this sixth level evolutionary spiral, you're going to, I hope, get a different sense of this theme for co-creating the container. Rachel, could you explain this?
Yes, I absolutely can. So when we're looking at the co-creation of the container from the perspective of the six levels of the evolutionary spiral, and for some of you, this is the first time that you're seeing this, and we will get into it in even greater depth in a little while. It starts from the bottom, and each one of these is a level of the medicine wheel tool. And the co-creation of the container, for me, I will say from my perspective, sometimes Birgit will jump in and say, actually, here's how I feel like it is too. It starts in that discernment phase of, coaching, might need that, might hire someone, what does that look like? And then in you, then from that space, helping them in their further discernment of the coaching relationship. Then it continues through the readiness phase. Are you in fact ready to do this work around this development goal together? And then it still is happening, that co-creating of the container in the engagement level of this. So, and then from there, the container, from my perspective, we have developed the container and we continue to maintain it throughout the construction, implementation, and monitoring and adjustment phases. And somebody was speaking about that, like that need to kind of touch base and transfer in every session. That's where that like co-holding of the container in that ongoing way happens. But the creation of that container is happening all throughout the first half of the six levels of this evolutionary spiral. So it's a significant portion in that going slow of all of those pieces. Birgit, what would you add to that?
Just go ahead and keep going with the tool and then I'll speak up.
Sure. Just so that I can know what you're asking me to do. Are you wanting me to explain the whole tool at this time?
Yes, I'm so sorry, Rachel. I jumped ahead into the sixth level evolutionary spiral with no forewarning to you. And it's in meeting at Hope's segment, but it felt natural to me to go into this. And so what we have here, as you said, in terms of co-creating the container, you talked about discernment, readiness, engagement. If the is as a perspective that they are the ones holding the coaching container, that it's their job to hold that coaching container. It's their job only to do leadership, to take leadership, and to that the expected outcomes are on their shoulders, which of course is something that can happen in the session. It's a lot of responsibility on that coach that might actually be counterproductive to the outcomes. So now let's look at this six-level evolutionary spiral from a different perspective, which is the client expects us to go into something called construction, which is up there in the fourth level. They want, they come with a problem, they come with something that needs fixing, they come with something that they need to talk about. And that, of course, can be productive if you just go there. But when it starts to go sideways, if it does, and it often does, there's not a jointly held container that is sufficient in terms of helping the entire longer coaching process hold itself together without an unnecessary dependency on the coach. From a holistic perspective, we always accept that the wisdom is inside of that person to find their own solutions. So, Rachel, if you could go ahead and just talk about those last three levels a little bit. The container gets created, just as you said, in those first three. And in those first three, I will come back and I'm going to talk about them just a little bit more in just a minute.
Good. So I will pick up from there. So we had that round of the wheel of discernment. We have another level of conversation that's about readiness, and then engagement. And all of that is that time that we've been talking about, of that, like, going slow to go fast, getting it really well put together. And then we step into the construction phase. And the construction phase is about the how are we actually going to achieve this development goal. What are we together, you as the coach and me as the, or you as the coachee and me as the coach, what are we together going to do in order to achieve this development goal? The next level is the level of implementation. So now we're actually doing the work together. And in fact, we have been doing work the whole time together, but this is that, like, tangible time where you can see the work happening, where those conversations are happening in your coaching session, where they're doing their practice and actually implementing some agreed upon things to work towards that development goal in their time in between. And then that naturally leads into that where you're starting to kind of sit in between implementation and monitoring and adjustment of, okay, I did my work. Now I'm coming back and talking to you about it. And now we're looking at what are the next steps in implementing this plan of ours to achieve your development goal, but also then starting to look at that monitoring and adjustment. So you have been doing the things that are coming out of our coaching conversations. How are they going? Are they working? If they are working, how do you ensure that you're continuing on with them in a sustainable and regenerative way? And if they aren't working, what are those adjustments that need to be made? What are the course corrects to try something a little bit different, or to try another approach, or whatever it might be, so that you're continuing to move forward? And ultimately with that goal of, by the time your coaching is complete, that the development goal has been achieved and that they are knowing how to just continue monitoring whatever that piece of work was and adjusting as needed to continue to be successful in whatever is on the other side of that coaching session with each other. So that would be the six levels.
Great, Rachel, thank you so much. And so let us imagine right now that we are taking on a new coaching client, if it's just one person, one executive, one other person, or if you've been engaged to do a group coaching session. And somewhere near the beginning of the coaching contracting, you say to them that your coaching process includes use of this tool, the six-level evolutionary spiral, and that what that is going to mean in the coaching is that you are going to intentionally go slow with them. At the beginning, it can feel frustrating to go slow, and that your wisdom is indeed to go slow so that there can be appropriate discernment of what the coaching is, what the perspective is, what the container is. There can be appropriate readiness for the coaching, and that you have some other tools to help to get into that readiness. Think about this for a minute. A person comes to you for coaching, they have a problem, and it's too easy to assume that they actually are in a state of readiness for coaching. They haven't yet told you their hopes and fears. They haven't yet really expressed to you sufficiently what it is that they want to get out of this, because they might not be in a state of readiness to either know what to ask for or know fully what coaching is. You can use this diagram to even talk about this part gently with people. Why does readiness happen? And after all that happens, do verify with them, are they really engaged to go further in the coaching? Does it, are they willing to take their part of the leadership within the coaching? And when the person point, they feel that they understand better what this coaching is about, they feel that they are in readiness for the coaching, even and that it's not just been assumed because they've hired you, they are willing to be engaged in the coaching, and they're telling you so. Now the two of you can work together and construct whatever needs to be constructed with whatever coaching methods you use to figure out how to move things on within their lives and their work and the way that it needs to be moved on. And then and onward into implementation. It's those first three layers that are missing, that are not always missing, but the depth of what takes place in those layers, what is possible, is often not sufficiently accomplished in coaching. And so if you can just sit with that a little bit and to say, could I do that more? Could I sit in the tension of not going fast enough with someone, of going slow so we can get through these three layers? That can enhance your coaching outcomes. And I call all of that, those first three layers, building the container. The way I build the container in a coaching assignment is exactly how we built that container with you today. So let's talk about this a little bit as a group. I will write down any reflections that you have, what you're thinking about, and I'm on slide 13 for that, I think. And before I did that, Rachel, is there anything you wanted to add?
No, not right now.
Do you want us to talk or to write? Talk.
Yes, please go ahead and talk. I mean, any of you that need to write before you talk, do that. Go ahead and do that. But I'm offering to write as you talk.
Okay. Har du på micken? I was in the, this is Eva speaking. I was in the Summer Academy this year, just a couple of weeks ago, and I think that the first phase, the discernment round or phase or whatever it is I came to understand that that is maybe one of the most important ones discern, whatever, to kind of reveal, to see what do you think, when we were talking about change, for example, what is your story of change? How do you look upon change? And if we take that to coaching, how do you look at whatever issue or problem that the people are coming with? So I think that is a really, a very important phase.
It muted somehow, Eva.
Oh, sorry. I think it's very, that the discernment phase, it's really important one to stay, to explore in that round. That was what was came to me after the Summer Academy. To explore what why are you coming to coaching, what is it that you will work with, how do you look at that, and so on. So it's I think it's sort of a really important one.
Eva, could you just tell me, Silva, in Swedish, what is the word you use for discernment?
Vi använder urskiljning, att urskilja, ungefär som man tar bort slöjor. Urskilja.
Yeah, great, thanks.
A helpful way to look at this, based on what Eva is saying, is it cuts through the many assumptions that people are coming to you with, not about their problem, but about what coaching is. It starts to build a common understanding. So, thank you.
Yes, and I think this is important. To reveal. I talked with a person last week, and I had been introduced for her as a coach to talk to in a difficult situation, and we talked, and but then I could notice she was a bit hesitating, not very trustful in this, and I suddenly asked, what is your experience with coaching? Have you ever been coached? Have you any experience in this? And she said, yes, I have done this one time, and I don't think I will do this again, because the last coach, I heard she had said to somebody else, a third person, but she was very disappointed with me. and but I didn't take her advices, and I don't want to disappoint more people. And so there are a lot of different kind of coaches out there, and people are full of assumption of what this is. And if you don't figure out, are we talking about the same thing? What can I be for to you? Both regarding to what I see in my head and what are your expectations to me, you will never be on the same page.
It's Margrethe here. I was thinking about that this module, we are talking about coaching here, like the main subject, but in any like kind of helping relationship, it will be useful to use this model. I work, we don't call it that I'm coaching when I'm out, but still I'm in a kind of a helping relationship, and for me this module will be very useful as well, because I think there is I experience like every time I'm out working that we that both I and my the people that I work with have assumptions, and that it's first when we start to talk about the assumptions we have and to find out the what kind of goals we have together, that we are actually getting somewhere. When I'm reflecting on when I'm successful as a helper, it is when I spend time on this first three level, especially the first two levels. So it's nice to see it in a on a piece of paper as a module, because then it's putting me to take more care into this in the future. Yeah. Okay.
I usually, when I start a coaching, I don't start the coaching, but I have an what I call an introductionary session to exchange not so much expectations, but just let the coachee talk, because usually they're full of the things that bother them at the moment or why they want to get into coaching. And there's very often a lot of emotion there, and they want to go fast and they want to have results and they want to just, and I think in that beginning, and I'm really kind of puzzling whether what phases I'm going through of your beautiful model is I kind of try to find out, do we have a click? Do we have something where I can make a connection that we understand each other? I tell them about my coaching. Sometimes I ask them. I think I ask them too little about their experience with coaching. But yeah, I think I should do that. And usually it's almost in between the lines, they come up with things that are core problems which they cannot voice yet. And if that happens and we have a good click, I say, okay, let's go into an intake session. And then I go through the intake, and it really takes, it's a lot of systematic stuff there. But the fact that I use these two, like my introductory session is only half an hour. And I think it lowers the fear of clients that they might get into something that is too large or that is not what they want or all these kind of things. And it works really well.
And I'm still kind of seeing how that discernment and the readiness gets into that. So yeah, I'll listen on. Thank you.
For me, it was important to hear that it's part of building this container is to get shared responsibility, and that's the client that's going to achieve goals and not the coach. And I think it's a very kind of gentle way to do that with a service delivery model. So I'm going to remember that.
This module also had this readiness to learn. I don't remember who of you that wrote it, but one of the first sheets we shared today, someone wrote, I think it was a bit afraid of not learning or head so full, but there was no space for learning more. And this have stayed in we for the whole session. And so also this, tuning in for the people we are surrounding with, because we can also come and as groups having different expectations of what is learning and what to accomplish, and is it okay only to be part of it, listening it to it, but not getting involved. And and if you are only a coach and a coachee, there is a little point of meaning in having this session if a coachee is not ready to learn, have a head full of other thoughts or fears or of something that stops them from wanting to learn or being able to learn that day. So also addressing, are you ready for this now? Tuning into it is an important thing of, will this be or give us any result in the end? And what kind of results?
I thank you for your various reflections that you're making right now, Lloyd. I assumed that all of you who are doing coaching have some kind of an introductory talk, some kind of starting point, and with various coaching models that it starts to get about, you know, let's look at what the situation is and moving on to figuring out solutions. That is the way that I once worked in my coaching also. And just like with my consulting work, because it ran a parallel experience, when things didn't work out quite right, I started thinking, what are the missing pieces? What are the missing conversations? what are the missing steps? And then I thought, we need to have some kind of readiness. And I was thinking about readiness to move on into solutions. My thinking wasn't formed more into greater readiness. I somehow had it into, if I got into readiness to get the contracting done well, that might be enough. This, and then I evolved over time, realizing first that even if it appeared that there was a level of readiness for the coaching, I discovered that just because people were ready did not mean they had taken the next step to feel engaged enough in the coaching. That's why it could be so easy if things got quite difficult that they wouldn't show up again because they weren't ready and engaged. If things got difficult and in coaching, as you know, people sometimes end up having to go through quite big changes in their thinking and their behaving, and they don't like it, and they might not like you sometimes. You go through all those things. It doesn't mean the coaching isn't successful. It means that you've hit some hard places. So then I started to think, what is it that we could do to get into that engagement so the person recognizes that they have the leadership for their outcomes along with us? Not just a comfort level with me as the coach, because I'm not going to keep them comfortable. I'm not going to promise that they're safe, because I don't know that. I am going to give them my best to help them shift from where they're at to where they say they need to be. But I need them to be engaged with that, even if the going gets rough. So then that took me into, we actually need to step back and get some discernment about what coaching is. What's their story about coaching? And other aspects of discernment and being comfortable. They might even struggle with the fact that they wanted a male coach and I'm a female coach. They wanted a younger coach, I'm an older coach. Who knows what all things are? That needs to fit in. So some things for you to think about. Rachel, over to you to take us into our closing circle.
Sometimes you can click on that mute button a few times before it finally unclicks. Thank you all for being here with us today. We do have just about 10 or 15 minutes left of our time together, so we want to make sure that we not just create the container, but also close the container of our time with you for this workshop. And we're going to be doing that by coming all the way back up onto slide number one, please, into the collective circle for our closing today. And as we're gathering here, I happen to have the bells still, and I want to thank you for being here as part of the first of the Genuine Contact specialty series workshops. There is, of course, a series of them that will be happening over the course of the year. And it was really lovely to be a part of the very first one of those. It was a great thing to help get started. And I'm also really grateful to have sat in both of the facilitator and the sponsor seats, because it is great for me to take my own feedback into the planning for those future sessions. So I appreciate that. I always love looking at these models and listening to the perspectives of other people, because I also get to learn more about how I can apply them and how from your thinking, how others might be thinking about it. So it's been really great to be hearing all of your contributions over the course of today too. I am going to pass those bells to my left clockwise around the circle, and that means that Theo will be up first. And I'm laughing a little bit because yesterday Theo and I were talking and we agreed that he would be coming to the workshop today, and I told him a story about a man who had been in a closing circle at the Summer Academy recently with us who sat to my right. So therefore, he listened to all of the closing comments and then had to find something to say and how he may have been feeling about that. And he laughed and he said, well, I'll just sit to your left then. And I quietly said, okay, sure. Which is how I got someone to sit so close on my left today. Because Theo, if you spend some more time hanging out in genuine contact with us, you will know that there's always an empty space next to the facilitator on that side for some reason. And it might be because you're going to be up first. So I will pass the object on to you for any closing comments that you may care to make as part of our workshop today. We'll work our way around the circle, and then that will be the end of our time together. So over to you.
Thank you so much. I'm just grateful to have been here this morning, to have had an opportunity to meet so many of you that have a passion for this work, that are looking both in your specific niche to engage people, to make an impact and change, but that I really had a sense that all of you are looking to also affect a bigger, greater whole. And I think the more of us, the better. So I look forward to hopefully running into you again virtually or elsewhere around genuine content and the many other wonderful approaches that are out there that do good work like this. And so thank you to all of you. I'm grateful. Marguerite, I believe, is next.
Thank you. First of all, thank you all. It was really nice to see some of the ones that I did the trainer with one and a half years ago. Haven't seen them since, so it was really nice to say hi in the breakout room. So that was, yeah, very nice. And also the rest of you, I had some great hours, did some interesting reflections by myself, and very nice to listen to you all. So have a really good summer, all of you. Big hug from Norway. And I will pass it on to, I have a slide up, so is it Ulrika, isn't it?
Yeah. Thank you for today, and I'm happy to see so many people here. And I had quite hard to keep the concentration today. I don't know why. But thank you for the conversations and the last part of the meeting. I really enjoyed that. I will bring to my coaching. I'm using the service delivery model when in the coaching, and other ways maybe in the to build a container, but I will try this how it will work. So thank you for today. I'm passing on to Marielle.
Thank you, Ulrika. Yeah, I had a few afternoon collapses. It's still, some things went into my mind, into my head, into my heart. And I was thinking it's so nice to have learned new things with familiar tools. So it's new insights, but not so many new things that I'm overwhelmed. And that's, it more fits into the kind of genuine contact puzzle that I'm making. And it was nice to meet you all. Also Margareta, although I didn't see your face. I hope we will meet again somewhere. Maybe in Amsterdam in September. So I say goodbye to you and thank you for all your wisdom and input. And I hand it over to the bells over to Eva.
Well, thank you. Well, I do have difficulties with this kind of meetings, I must admit. Just the way it is. I have, I don't think it's my format, but still. It fits quite good into the learnings from Summer Academy. And Ad and I and Michelle were talking about I don't really remember the topic, but how could we use this this sixth level to help people when we work with change. And I really could see that this afternoon strengthens my thoughts and the thoughts that we had at the Summer Academy. So I had my recipe here. I will continue with that. And also a note from Sweden, and I do not really live on the countryside, but my son just came home and he almost hit a herd with, I don't know the English word, with wild pigs just around the corner. Crazy. But that's it. Nice to speak to you again. Bye-bye. And Birgit, here. No. Yes.
Thank you all. It was a true joy to have you within this workshop. And Rachel and I designed the workshop in a way that we assumed and knew that there would be quite a bit of tension in the first part by going slow to go through certain steps. That when one comes to a 3.5 hour workshop and it's like, how do we get the tools? What are the tools? What do we need? Which for us is about the construction phase. Although, I'll just speak for my own behalf. Although, we hope very much that you can use the service delivery model in your coaching sessions. You can use the sixth level evolutionary spiral. You can, out of your own experience and wisdom, figure out the ways that you want to use that. Both of those might even be included as tools when you put your offer in to get coaching assignments. So you could put it in there. You could put those in your introductory meeting to say, this is the way I work. You can do all sorts of things with them. They can guide you. It is my great hope that you will, after this workshop, when you reflect on it and you know that one of the topics for this workshop was co-creating the container, and another topic was about the four dimensions of intelligence for personal well-being, that you can sit back, listen to the recording again, look at the slides again and go, why do Birgit and Rachel make us go through such a process of so many steps of reflection and sharing what actually happens in that? It's my hope that there is something that comes out of that will help you with specific tools like hopes and fears, like transfer in, that all you can use in your coaching, but for me, more importantly, for you to manage that tension between people wanting you, especially busy executives, come on, get on with it. And one of the greatest gifts that you can give them is to cause them to go slowly at first. And it is a tension, and it is a struggle for coaches. So it's something I hope you get from this workshop as a takeaway to think about that. Okay, over to you, Helga.
Thank you, Birgit. Thank you. Well, I think this workshop was quite a challenge for me. There were so many new things, like still working with KikoChat and working with Zoom at the same time. I still have to figure out the techno challenge, but I got through 3.5 hours, and I'd never done a 3.5 hour circle online, so I think, wow, this is great, and I got through, yes, I'm here. Content-wise, it comes for me just at the right time, because I'm looking at my own models for coaching, and I want to rethink them, not so much revise them, because I find many things which I do, but I don't do them that explicit, so it could be much more explicit. And I'm really inspired, or you might say engaged, to get into the work, and it's a lot of work, so I think, well, yeah, okay, but I'm going to do it. And I'll certainly listen again to the recording, because I'm very sure that there has been said so much more than I have either not heard because of techno challenges, trying to get Zoom back, to get into the Kiko chat, and also because I was much more in my own head than listening to you. So, I think I'm really inspired to get better into the model, to understand it better. And that's the model also of the four dimensions of well-being, which I think, I kind of used some of that already. And to fit it together and to, well, make a new creative effort. So thank you so very much all, and have a great summer. Oh yeah, I have to get back to the Kiko chat now. Please give me some time. That's a challenge here. And move the bells to Martina. Here you go.
Yes, thank you, Helga. For me, as I'm at the beginning of my own coaching sessions, it was a really intensive learning from a really wise crowd in only 3.5 hours. So I got a lot of stuff to work on and to start tomorrow. And one of my key sentences, and there were a lot, was this, you have to anchor energy first to go forward, or to go slow to go fast. Even that I know this, it was a really good Wiederholung, was it, what is it in English? Huh?
Repetition.
Yeah, repetition. To really build this stable container with your coachee, and to take your time, and also to convince the coachee that he also might to take the time to build this this space to learn together. Yeah, this was the essence for me today. Besides all the things I have to learn, still to learn. So thanks very much to all of you, and I pass the bells to Deborah last time, if I manage to do it. Yes.
Deborah left early.
So I put it to Anne-Heidi.
Thank you. What is it more to say? There have been shed so much wisdom, and it has been 3.5 intense hours, and there's shifting all the way between inside your head and listening to what the other says, and keeping concentrated is something to practice a bit more to be better at. I said to Birgit in this first breakout But getting to know and getting to be introduced to the GC tools and GC environment has been to coming to a home that I didn't realize what I missed or didn't have. And this session has also been reconnecting both with the things I have learned earlier and also strengthening the beliefs I have in what does function and what you have to do to build a stable ground for the work to come ahead. So thank you very much, everyone, for sharing today. It was nice to get to know you, and hopefully I'll meet more of you later on. So have a nice summer, and thank you for today. I'll send the bells to Ylva.
Yeah, thanks. And thank you all. There is really a huge amount of wisdom in such a circle. A lot of new insights, reflections that I will bring into my review, because I just ended 1 year of work. So I'm taking some time during my summer holiday to review my work and my offers ahead. And I think the six level spiral is really very valuable in so many ways. So I think I will call you, Eva, one day or another, and talk to you a little about the translations that we can use in Swedish in these in the spiral, for example. So thank you so much, everyone, and hope to see you again here or somewhere else. And I pass it over to Ad. At it was. There you go.
Thank you. It was very nice to be here, and it was a bit of I've been pushing myself a bit to be here, especially after the learning intensive in Canada. But I wanted to be here because it fitted so well with the conversation I had indeed with Eva and Michelle, and also to experience the first one, because I'm going to be giving the second one together with Eivor Bekkelund. And that one is going to be meetings that engage, and we'll especially be focusing on the first part of meetings. So we're going to slow down on the transfer in, so even before the hopes and fears. And so you're very welcome to join us then, and I'm looking forward to that. And I nearly have the piece written, Rachel, so you can expect that shortly. And Eva, I hope to continue the conversation about that we had in Canada. So, I wish you all a very good summer, and thank you very much, Rachel and Birgit, for this opportunity to learn further. I'll pass it back to Rachel now.
Thank you. Thank you all for being here for the rich learning of today. The archive recording and then a PDF of the whiteboards will be sent out to you probably late this week or early next week. So you can watch for that in your email. And of course, the Genuine Contact list is a great place to continue some of your learning and your questions about lots of these models and how you're working with them in your coaching as a place of continued mentoring and support for one another. So maybe we will see you there with your inquiries. And that's it for today. Goodbye.